Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe, Miss Shelley. Romans 11 tonight. Last week we hit the end of 10 and the end of 11. We got to do the middle part this evening. And if there was a message for tonight, it's just called grafting. This is the husbandman sermon. It's super important in the sense of where Israel fits in. Why, you know, every time election time comes around, the part of a candidate's, for president of the United States, a part of their platform you want to pay attention to concerning this kind of thing with the church was a real important part, is foreign policy. Say, well, you know, what's your stance? What is your foreign policy? You know, say, what's your attitude towards the nation of Israel? And our current administration, man, it's been moving capital stuff. It's been phenomenal. Everything's against it, but I mean, it's been phenomenal. When people say, Israel, I think those Palestinians really got a bad break. You know, then it's like, what does that mean? You know, what's that? It's going to be a problem, it's an issue. I talked about Sunday school this morning, the runoff in Georgia. The guy that we don't want to win is a Baptist preacher. Who's a communist? Who thinks Jesus was a Palestinian and not a Jew? That's who's running. That is an on-site preacher. I really didn't need to know that, but now I do. You know, I'm thinking, wow. Not even scriptural stuff. Preacher is communism right out of Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says that part in the early church. The people had need. They brought their thing into it, had all things common, and just, that's just how it works, people. That's just how cults go. One verse of scripture, Judas's church wouldn't last long because everybody'd hang themselves and they'd all be over. You know what I'm saying? One verse, but you just go and run with that stuff. Foreign policy is important. How do we treat Israel? Is Israel important? Super important. I rode with a guy at work one time and says, man, if Israel just wouldn't exist, everything would be a cycle, like, oh, man. You don't get the whole thing. And it spins. That's like the axis right there. You mean we got to be looking that way, not how it affects us. So this part of 11 is just super important. We won't bog down. We'll get through it fairly quickly. But we're going to use husbandman terms. We're talking about like not gardening per se, but orchards, pruning, grafting is used in here. And it is a picture. And we'll talk about that as we go. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll start in right at verse number 1 of Romans chapter 11. Father, we do thank you for your grace. We ask that you'd help us tonight. Pastor, pray, Lord, for our nation. What a mess, Lord. I pray. Now, Father, we look to you. You see above the fray, Father, all that's going on. Father, we trust you, Lord, and we pray. We do thank you, Father, as we talked about this morning. Lord, Daniel being amongst the people that weren't his and all the things that could trouble the soul and batter the spirit. Father, we rise above that tonight in your name. We ask that you'd help us, Lord. I pray you'd speak to us through your word. I do thank you for all the good people who have come out tonight, Father, with the roads. And I pray for those that weren't able to, that want to, Father, they're here with us in spirit watching tonight. And I ask that you'd bless. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, I say then, have God cast away his people? Right? It's talking about the nation of Israel. As we finish chapter 10, Isaiah's verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and saith, I have found of them that sought me. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel I said, all day long I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We read that when we went through Isaiah. The nation of Israel, they had their necks hard. They were turned away from God. They didn't want to obey God. And they're God's chosen people. And God said, are they God? There's a theology that's taught, a lesson, a teaching that's a replacement theology that says, well, when the church age came, the church replaces Israel, and all the promises are to the church now, and they're not to Israel. It's called replacement theology. I know I mentioned that, but that's what that is. And this is kind of what it gets at. Is he done with? No, he's not. Absolutely not. Verse number 1, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God forbid. The Bible says, for I also am an Israelite. Who's talking here? Romans chapter 11. Yeah, this is Apostle Paul, right? Gentile, right? No. He's a Jew, right? He's a Jew. He says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You gotta love that about the Hebrews people. You gotta love that. What tribe are you from, right? You ask me what tribe I'm from. I don't know, but probably some Scottish ignorant mountain tribe somewhere. I don't know. Probably. Who knows? But the children of Israel, I'm the tribe of Benjamin. And right off the bat, you can tell us about Benjamin. Big tribe, small tribe. Small tribe, right? Brother Joe mentioned the 300, right? And who led the 300? What tribe was he from? Benjamin, right? Small tribe. So I'm a Benjamite, right? I'm the tribe of Benjamin. There's the Apostle Paul. Great, wonderful. God's not going to get rid of them. Look at verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. In other words, he had this plan for Israel that was it was at the beginning, at the foundation. He knew. And said, well, why Israel? And you can sit and contemplate that your whole life. How come God didn't pick the Norwegians instead? You can think about that all you want, right? The idea is he picked the Jewish nation and is using them. The Bible says in verse 2, awesome word doesn't get used a lot anymore. What? W-O-T, not W-H-A-T. It's not a misspelling, okay? It says, what ye not. It just means, don't you know? Don't you know what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, okay? So we have God's prophets in the New Testament, where we have the Greek, the names translate out funny, so they look a little bit different. It's like, who's this Isaiah guy? Oh, that's Isaiah, right? And so we have Elias, we have Elijah. He says, Lord, verse number 3, we won't go back to the Old Testament and look at it there in Kings. Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Right? Because what had just happened? Elijah's up on Mount Carmel, and he preaches one of the greatest messages ever. He says, how long halt you between two opinions, right? I mean, everybody around the world knows that, right? He said, if you're for God, you know, people, if you're for Baal, it was just, there was no fence there. Nobody on the fence, right? Got all the prophets of Baal. I said, false prophet university, let out classes for the whole day. And they all got to go watch. This is wonderful. You know, all the false prophets are there and all dressed in their stuff. And they go through all this stuff and they cut themselves and they try to offer sacrifice. Nothing happens, right? Because he prays the prayer and says, God, we want the fire to fall. And we're going to know who's the God when the fire falls, right? And say, well, here, you guys go first, you know. He could have taken a nap, right? And then it's a drought, right? There's no water anywhere. What does he bring to burn on a fire? Water. You know, it just makes no sense. But God burns water that day. And God burns dirt that day. And God burns stones that day. And then God tells God's men, look, you got to kill all them false prophets and start over, you know. And so, boom, huge victory. Huge victory. Then the queen finds out, but they killed all my, not her false prophets, they were, right? Killed all my prophets. You're going to be as one of those prophets tomorrow, right? And so he gets that news back, and he went from the mountaintop, it's a great picture of Christianity, he went from the top to the bottom, right? And he did it. We talked about saying, God, should I run from this woman? Should I hide? How far should I run? You know, he didn't ask. He just took off, right? And he's in this cave. And that's where we find ourselves. We're in a cave, right? We're just, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
You know, and we hear some squeaky noise in the back. I'm the only one. You know, we get this attitude that, and this is what he's talking about. It's all that for this. Lord, verse 3. Okay. But verse 4, he says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? Is what we think matter, or is what God says matter? I mean, really, right? You sit, you argue with a human being till you're blue in the face. Does it really matter what the two of you have to say, or does it matter what God says? So just let them know, thus saith the Lord, and move on, right? What did God say? But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself, not one, not two, but 7,000 men. 7,000 men. You know, somewhere there's a big cave with a lot more prophets in it, right? There's a lot more guys. 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I mean, he thought he was the only Baal fighter out there, right? Thought he was the only one, but he wasn't. And God wasn't done with his people. And it's just a picture. Is God done with his people? Yeah, he's so done with them that he ran Israel down to one prophet left and that's it. And he's going to die of despair in a cave all by himself, and that's the end of the Hebrew people. No, not really. That's not the end. There's a whole bunch of prophets. There's 7,000 of them. He still has a message he wants preached. And he says in verse number 5, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a group. There is a group of the people of Israel that is going to follow me. Okay, and I know we look and it's frustrating. Sometimes you think the people should stand up for God is the Jews. I mean, they should preach Jesus like nobody's business, but they don't as a group. They don't yet, right? It's not like that as a whole, but there is a group that does. And when you find a Jewish person that loves Jesus Christ, there's something about it. It is special. It's just like, man, this is so cool. You should, and you do, and that just makes all the world make sense now, right? More than anything else. But you don't see it a lot. And it just says a remnant. A remnant's not a big group. Young people, what's a remnant? We'll just see. If you've got no idea, I'm going to give you a good idea after this, okay? You'll never forget it, okay? When you hear remnant, young people, what do you think about? Anything at all? This should be good. Go ahead.
Killing?
No. Remnant. The remains. That's very good, okay? Every carpet store. You got humongous rolls of carpet, okay? And then you're like, Dad, look, this piece is really cheap. And the reason is because it is a remnant. It's not a real big piece. It's not going to be able to cover the whole room. It may just be able to cover one part. But, I mean, Mama wants the whole room done in the same color. So that's not really going to work for most people. Usually Mamas aren't like, yeah, give me 10 remnants. That'll save us a ton of money. But Dad's like, yes, this is great. Not going to work, right? I mean, a remnant's awesome if you're building dog houses. But if you're building people houses, it's just a little bit that's left. Now, is it a piece of brand new carpet just like the huge roll? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it quality? Oh, yeah. There's just not very much of it left. And I like to say it's not even just more potent. It's just a subset. Okay? So remains is a great answer. That's it. This is a remnant. He says there always will be, no matter what happens. There always will be. And I made up a long time ago, if that comes to the church, I want to be in that group. I want to be part of the remnant. I want to be the part that stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, I don't got no breath left. And I don't care whatever else. Am I going to join this group or this moon or whatever? So take the word of God and stand for it and be a part of that. Well, let's just sift through all this stuff. Who's been bought? Who's been this? Who's compromised this? Who's done this? Who does this? And we're just following Jesus. That's all. Keep it super simple. Super simple. We're no better than nobody. We're just the remnant. We're what's left. The Bible says in verse number 6, if by grace, then is it no more of works. The Bible says otherwise, grace is no more grace. So by grace, God is saying there's going to be a remnant. By God's grace, there's going to be a group that's left. There's going to be a subset of people that remains. It's not going to be through our doing and our work. It's going to be through God's. It says if it was of work, then it wouldn't be from God. It wouldn't be because of grace. The Bible says, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can work for something or you can receive grace for something. And we've talked about grace this morning in Sunday school class. God's riches at Christ's expense, great acronym for grace. He said, well, I really got to work to make God happy. No, you don't. God loves you. God loves you. Now, it is your reasonable service that you would serve the Lord. The Bible gives us that in Romans chapter 12. We'll be there for too long. It's your reasonable service. It makes sense. But I'm not into that. I'm not into working for happiness. We gotta work for our salvation. No, we don't have to do that. We just have to work to keep God happy. No, that don't work either, right? I trust Christ and then I'm gonna give myself to Him. It's reasonable to do that. It's reasonable. So grace is God giving and us not having to work for it. When we talk about salvation and works, people say, well, I'm working towards but then I trust Christ and God works through me. Then there's a lot of works that take place. Works of God. Works that I could never do. Works that I could never explain or try to understand when you give God control of your life. Verse 7 says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. When the group came out of Egypt, I don't know how it appears to you, but to me, the group that complained versus the group that wanted to obey God, it seemed like there was way more complainers. I don't know if it's because of the noise, but that to me, it just seems like I have a whole lot of racket coming from over here. Ah, we don't have this, and we want to go back, and it's like, people, come on. And the group over here is like, come on. You know, it's like, yeah, we don't understand it. Oh, we're out here in the wilderness, and we're going, but surely not this. And so there was a pretty good sized group that would complain against the Lord. The Bible says the rest were blinded, right? They didn't see things God's way. Just because they're God's chosen people doesn't mean if you're born a Jew, you go to heaven. That is not. They have to make a decision just like us. Just like us. They call, oh, I'm a Jew. I got it. I'm good. You know, and then some people think, oh, they're the get off on all kinds of crazy teaching. Well, they're the elected, so they automatically get in, and they're this, and they're that. No. They have to make a decision to trust Jesus just like us. And it's tough for them. Thought of this, it's very tough. And be surprised to see how many of them, they make a decision for Christ, they get treated almost like the Muslims. Some of them where it's, you know, ostracized. You're out of the family. You're this. You're trusting him. And no, that's not who we're putting our faith in. That's not who we're trusting. The Bible says in verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. There's a part of the property there in Pilgrim's Progress where they're walking along, and I can't remember the name of the field, it's slipping my mind. But if you got into it, man, just slumber overtook you, and you just ended up staying there. And you weren't like hurt or better off. You were just kind of in limbo, and you're just kind of in this like, oh, it's going to take a nap, and nothing really matters. You're just, you know. That's not good. That's not good. There's no urgency there. You end up in this place where there's no thoughts about what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says God gave them a spirit of slumber. Spirit of slumber, right? Slumbering people. I had to go rescue my boat the other day. I had to go get it out of Seward, and that was fun. I took my boat out of the water. I've never been. There's some place I'm just not. Like, I'm not normally there this time of year. So I was down there. The harbor, the water's as clear as could be. Normally it's dirty. I say it stinks, but it does. I mean, fish processing stuff is it. I love the smell of fish, people. I could do it all day long. That doesn't bother, but it got a smell to it. Okay. And, you know, there's the fish bin there at the docks and all this stuff. And that stuff was clean. It was just nice. The water was super clear. It was great. It was, just easy to see. And it was a nice day. It was supposed to snow a bunch. And so I said, man, I got to get down there. I have to go down and get those things taken care of. And I'm stalling because I'm trying to remember why I went off on that tangent to go to Seward to get my boat preacher. Slumber. Sleeping. I wasn't in it. This was really good. I said, oh, this is perfect. I'm losing my connection. Preacher's the only one that knows how I feel right now. But that's the honest truth, people. That's the honest. I'm saying, I'm just cutting my losses right here. All right, here we go. Bible says in verse number 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should see not, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block. Ah, it came to me. All right. So I'm leaving, and I have to make the connection with a guy I'm dropping tackle off with. And he lives by my house, and I said, hey, if you stop by the house and pick it up. And he texted me, and he said, I'll be there at such and such a time if I can get the kids moving. And that's where I was going with that. I said, amen, because of the slumber part. Hey, the bus is going to be here in 20 minutes. Let's go. You know, some days I wish I had a fire alarm in my house. You know, I don't. It's just like, I think I pull the fire alarm again. Why your hair wet? It's like, oh, the sprinklers, you know. But anyhow, that's where I was going. Slumber. Praise the Lord. We recovered. All right. Verse number 9. David saith, let their table
be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles.
There's a reason for everything God does. There's a reason for everything. He said, why wouldn't the people of Israel trust Jesus? He's one of them. It makes sense. It's in the Bible. There's 9 jillion prophecies. And it's just, how come they can't? There's a reason for everything. One of the reasons is that we could get a shot. The Gentiles could get a shot to hear the gospel, to have the gospel presented to us, that we could be saved. The Bible says in verse number 11, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, them as being the Jews, to what? Jealousy. That's our Savior. That's our Messiah. We can love Him too. We can do it too. That is part of our job as a church, is to provoke the Jews to love Christ. I mean, that's what we're supposed to say. We're not meaner, 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 right? That's not us, but we're doing it, and God's blessing the church, and God's blessing and giving favor and says, that should be us. Yeah, it should be. It should be. Come on, come on. I mean, the more the merrier when it comes to, and it's not like come as you are and believe what you want. It's come and serve Jesus and trust Christ. But there's nobody that we would say, no, no, no. Come. Yeah, come. We're to provoke them, the Bible says. That's part of God's plan. What a plan. I mean, you sit there and think through all these things, and Paul wraps it up here, and we'll see at the end of the chapter, God's plan. God's plan is just, it's amazing. Bible says, verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world. Why? How big is Israel? I mean, look at the map. If you have a big map, you see nothing. I mean, and if a map doesn't have a big picture of the Mediterranean Sea, it's like, you miss it, right? It said, over there on the right, it's just a little, oh, wait, that's super big even. It's just this little spot. It's not very big. You say, wow, we got to be big to do something for the Lord. No, not really. Everybody knows Israel, right? It's this little tiny spot. But the Bible says, the riches of the world. It's all the rest of the people, all the rest of the world could get to hear. If the fall of them, verse 12 says, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? They say, man, if we got the gospel because the Jews said they didn't want to believe, okay, and we're blessed with receiving the gospel, how much more are we going to be blessed when the Jews turn this thing around and make it right? It's going to be good for us. It's going to be exciting. Not that it's about us, but it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be great. There's going to be a piece to the spiritual family puzzle that's going to make it whole. It's going to be awesome. And he's going to say it again here in a second. Verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might have some, and might save some of them. So in a sense, Paul here is saying, I'm going to do, as a Jew, what the church is doing, provoking others to love Christ, myself, because I want to see some of them get saved. And remember number 9, he says, now I'm willing to be a curse for Christ for my people. And then he says, yeah, I pray for him. That's what I'm doing. I'm praying for him. But he really wants this to happen. Verse 15 says, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? The life from the dead. Boy, that's going to be a good thing. When things are resurrected, it's a good thing. Life from the dead. Verse 16, for if the first fruit, okay, that's the Jews being picked by God, the first fruit be holy, also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And this is where we get into the husbandman talk, okay? So got our tree, right? We have the part underground. It's not seen. They're the roots. Got to have good roots. Got to have, you know, all the things that go along with the roots. Got to be in good ground. All those good things, right? So we got to have a strong trunk. Can't have dry rot in the middle. Can't be dead in the middle. Can't have heart rot. Can't have any of that stuff. Then we got our branches that come off it. And then the branches kick out the fruit. Some people look at trees and be like, where's the fruit, right? And say, okay, well, there's a whole lot that goes into the tree. Oh, a whole lot of stuff.
Moving on, verse number 17. If some of the branches be broken off, And thou being a wild, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them.
Don't think of a tree like having arms, otherwise it gets weird. Okay? So it's like branches, right? And you remove a branch, and you can take a branch from another tree. There's a lot that goes into that, but you have to take it apart in a certain place and put it in a certain spot and bind it up. That branch can grow into and become a part of that tree. And it's called grafting. My grandma had melanoma cancer. And grandma had a spot on her ankle the size of a softball. And I can never figure it out. It was just a perfect circle. Right on the, I can't remember. I think it was her right foot maybe. I can't remember. But granny, I mean, just right here, just this big circle. I'm like, grandma, why do you have a circle there? Well, it's where they'd taken skin off, and I can't remember where her melanoma was. It wasn't like on her face or anything you could see, but they had taken that part out, and they took the skin off of her foot and put that on and grafted it into another place. You say, grafting. You have skin. Sorry, Jake. You have skin grafts, right? I mean, people get in a burn situation or something, and you're trying to find skin from anywhere and just help this person out. It's grafting, taking something that wasn't originally a part and then making it a part of that. Not in a weird way. I mean, it's skin and skin. You know, it's tree branches and tree branches. Just say, to understand the picture here, that wasn't originally a part of that. But now it is. How does that work, God? God makes it work. The Bible says in verse number 17, thou wert a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Okay, so the root, okay, who is described as the root of David in the scripture? Right? Christ is. He's the root. From him springs forth all these things. And so by being engrafted in as non-Jews, we get the benefit of Christ. That's the picture here. Now, they all knew this stuff, right? They did this stuff. So he's talking in a picture that they all understood. Maybe 90% of the Romans all had stock in trees. I don't know. But it was an easy illustration that he would use this picture for them. The Bible says in verse 18, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Hey, look at me. I've been grafted in. Look at me. Look at it. Be quiet up there. You're just the branch. But I'm important. I get to be seen, and I hold the fruit down on the end of my... Yeah, but if we cut your root off, you're going to shrivel up and die. And the Bible says that anything that bear fruit is going to be cut down, thrown in fire, and all. I mean, they got this branch and say, hey, be glad you're in. Be glad you're a part. Don't boast and say, look at that small branch across from me over there. I'm so much bigger than, and I face the sunlight. I'm more important. And you compare and do all these things. No. We're better than the Jews because, no. We're a part. Now, praise God, we're a part. God has made it possible. But the Bible says we all are going to take part of this root, which is Christ. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. I'm so special. God took them out of the way so I could have a shot. No, they didn't believe. And it's the same for us when we don't believe. If we don't trust Christ, we're not going to be grafted into that tree either. We won't be. It's through their unbelief. It wasn't through their works. It wasn't through their, I wasn't born in the right tribe. It was none of those things. It was their unbelief that made them broken off. The Bible says, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, if God spareth not, the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And see where the weirdos take some of the verses and say, well, you have your salvation one day and lose it the next and all stuff. I get the pictures. But what the Bible is saying here, if you were grafted in and then you could be cut off, I serve God, I love Christ, or trust Christ as my Savior, but I do not pass that on to my children. I don't pass it on my family, my kids. They grow up, maybe just a few of them. You guys aren't illustration. This is hypothetical, okay? Every once in a while I get in trouble at home. You guys aren't illustration, okay? But the hypothetical here, only some of my kids get saved, only some of them trust Christ, and then in their kids, none, zero, right? So we went from loving God, serving God, to two generations, nobody. What happened there in the long run? We were in, now we're out. As a whole. Does that make sense? It's not me, the same person. It's through the generation. If I don't continue, because in here it's going to say, if we don't continue, it's like, oh, I just got to persevere. And that's what the weirdos do. They say, oh, you got to strain and follow Christ. Just strain. It's so weird because the Bible's saying it has nothing to do with the flesh. Everything to do with Christ. So my effort doesn't matter in that sense that, oh, I just got to try harder. No. By faith, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe that. And I want to pass that down. And I want to pass that down, and I want to pass that down. And look, it's through unbelief. It's through faith, whether we stand or not. Not your last name. Not whether Grandpa was a preacher. Not whether Grandpa was a Sunday school teacher. Not, none of those things. It is through your faith that we get grafted in. The Bible says in verse number 23, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So you have this Jewish kid that gets saved. And his parents, they had nothing to do with it. They did nothing. Grandparents want nothing to do with it. They hear the gospel. God works and they get saved. Just like the example I used of going from God to away from God. You get this group that'd be like, that would be away from God, coming to God. And that would be an example of getting grafted back in again. Kid's a Jew. God had a special plan for the Jews, but hey, they got away from God. And somewhere in there, they got away from God and they made a decision, we're not going to believe, we don't want to do that, we don't want to do those things. And here we come, next generation, and then God works, and now it's up to that person, and it's up to the generation after them, whether they're going to stay in or not. The Bible says in verse number 23 that God is able to graft them in. He's able to do it. God's able to save the soul. That's why you don't give up on anybody. Oh, that past being saved. That person can't be saved. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that about somebody. As long as they're breathing, okay? They got a shot. As long as they're able to, you know, and don't back into a corner on people that are laying in beds and can't talk. I don't know about those things, okay? But I know if I can talk to them and they can look and understand me, and I in my heart, I said, they got a chance. If I can communicate with them, they got a chance. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 24, almost done tonight. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Same thing he says in verse number 12. Same thing he says in verse number 15. He says, we're in. He says, but how much better is it going to be when those that were natural are grafted in? How much better of a tree is that going to be? It's not that we make God better. It just is that it becomes whole. It becomes what God wants it to be. He wants Israel to love him. That's all he wants. That's what he wants.
Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, right? We get conceited and we think that we're important and we're the reason why the world turns and we're the reason why the sun comes up. No, it's God's plan. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. He's mentioned that already. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. There's this time that we're in now. It's the time of the Gentiles. People are still getting saved. You witness to people and tell them about Jesus and tell them about God's love and tell them about separation. Tell them that God wants them to be saved. Somebody trusts Christ. The Holy Spirit works and they trust Christ. It's wonderful. This is the time for that. This is the time that we do those things. And then the Bible says that time where they were blind, where the time they were, it's gonna turn. There's going to be a group that comes to Jesus again. Verse 26. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. All those that believe will
be saved. Now, if you want to pull verse 26 out of the whole chapter and run with it, say, Bible says, all Israel shall be saved. Oh, wonderful. Okay, let's match that up with the rest of the verses, okay? If they believe by faith. So very, very, very clearly says that in verse number 20. The Bible says, thou standest by faith. Standest by faith. Verse number 27, this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And this is where we jumped in last week. God's plan is not going to change. He's not going to alter. He's already got his plan. He's already got it. God's called people to do certain things. God's called nations to do certain things. And it's going to happen. May not see it all in our day, and that's the cool thing about the time we live in. You don't know what you're going to see. You don't know. We don't know. Are we going to see the rapture? Man, I sure hope so in our day. I said, there have been a lot of preachers said, could be, hey, yeah. And I'm for that. Don't change that. But hey, what if it's the Lord tarries, right? If the Lord tarries. And that's why I always say, hey, if the Lord tarries, the Lord tarries. Because you don't know, right? You plan for today, but you plan for tomorrow as well. Kind of at the same time. You don't know. But it's exciting because you don't know what's going to happen. What's that going to look like in the midst? What's that going to look like? Well, who knows what it'll look like in the midst? What will it look like? Sorry, that was bad. That was bad. That would have been good like a month ago. Now it's no good. Like, what would that look like? You probably wouldn't even see it, right? The Jews coming and saying, man, we want the Lord. Like, that's going to be just awesome. It's going to be great. The Bible says, and we'll finish tonight. I'm going to stop in verse 33. Jump down 33 and be done. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. We had read that this morning in Psalm 92. His thoughts are deep. Right? He's deep. God just keeps going and going and going. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And when we jump to conclusions, that means jumping to, we said, this is how it's going to end. This is why it's going to end. And God's like, I'm going this way. I'm going, stick with me, right? And we want to be that way. What we know we need to do tonight is we need to love the Jewish people. We just know we need to do that. If we have a political leader that stands up and says, you know what? We believe like Congressman so-and-so, newly elected from the state of Georgia, believes Jesus was a Palestinian. You know, we kind of take hold of that. You know, he's a spiritual giant for us. And this guy, you know, he was the prayer man for Obama. Obama needs something prayed before he calls this guy and come pray. Learn from a communist Bibleist. And it's just crazy to say all this in the same sentence. Communist Bible teacher in New York. I think it was in New York that thinks that whiteness needs to be expunged from America. Whiteness. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, white walls, white fences, us? What does that mean? That's weird stuff. This guy's a gospel preacher thinking, what? Hey, weirder things have happened. Right? Weirder things are happening. So we look at this candidate and say, we listen. That's not good. That doesn't look so good. We need a leader like Eisenhower that says, you know what? I read my Bible. You know what? I'm going to surround myself with men that read the Bible and pray and know that we need to embrace the children of Israel because God does. And Genesis is still in the book. If we bless them, we will be blessed. If we curse them, we're in for it. Let's stand tonight and we'll sing our song of invitation tonight. Verse 12 is open my eyes that I may see. Altar's open tonight. We talked about Thanksgiving this morning. Time to thank the Lord. You need to pray. The altar's open. We'll sing tonight. 3:12.